Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast, to the Footy Casuals. Once again, we are back, this time to bring you some Copa America results, predictions, controversies, and more, featuring my cousin Brian.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. A little tired today because we're going a little late, but gotta get a video out for you, or gotta get a recording out for you guys, and very excited as always.
Exactly. But we're here for the people. We're always here regardless to give our takes, whether they're good takes or bad takes, but we're very excited at the moment with the run of events that has gone down in the Copa America somewhat to an extent. We're both kind of in the mud at the moment, but this tournament's looking a little interesting at the moment.
It's looking better than what it started, at least. So, although our teams are in the mud, at least the games got more interesting. Because at the beginning, it was looking like a lack of competition, which was sad. But, I mean, some teams are starting to turn it up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of stuff's going down. Some sketchy calls, some dodgy results, some bad decision-making, possibly some sackings going about. And we'll get all into that soon enough. But first of all, we're going to get started with the first group. Well, the second game. Well, match day two, the first group, which I think is literally, I'm not going to lie to you, Brian. This group is the most embarrassing group I think I've ever seen. Because these guys are all clowns, like, besides Argentina. Oh, okay.
I feel like Argentina's even playing like clowns at the moment.
I agree. Which is... I was like, yeah, they're the king of the clowns at the moment. But yeah. So I don't know. This have you seen any of these games, Brian, by any chance?
I have, actually, and I'll gladly inform you that this game quite literally almost put me to sleep. So wait, which one do you want me to start with? Canada, Peru, or Chile, Argentina?
You're actually watching these games?
Yeah, I was able to watch both of these.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'll start off with the Peru.
Yeah, take Canada. It away. Go for it.
So, I mean, I feel like at the very beginning of the game, Peru actually looked pretty strong. I feel like they were playing pretty defensive, but I mean, as expected, like they're not gonna be like this crazy team that's putting up like a bunch of goals and everything. I believe they were dropping into like a five back. But they're holding their own. I mean, Canada was making their own pushes, but they didn't look anything crazy. Like, I feel like every chance they kind of created, they were kind of just ruining it. And you could kind of see it in some of the players' faces, like Alfonso Davies, Jonathan David, and I forget their striker's name. What's his name?
It is Jonathan David.
No, the other dude. There's another dude on top of him because I think they had him playing like...
Sile Lauren?
Yeah, that guy. They, like, all three of them were literally getting, like, mad back and forth at each other. Like, because they would either, like, get a chance created and somebody would, like, throw completely, or, like, they were just getting nothing going in the midfield. Like, the passes they were doing were kind of horrible. And then, I mean, Peru was actually having themselves a decent game up until that red card. And I feel like that red card sold them so bad for Peru. Because I feel like if they didn't, and it was a dumb red card, too. Like, it was so, like avoidable basically, but like if it wasn't for that red card, I literally could have seen a draw because Canada was looking shocking. Like these dudes could not do anything, and even that Jonathan David goal, like I feel like that was lucky because I remember correctly, dude hit it and like he had a clear one on one, but he literally shot it, hit the bar, and it went in. And I was just like, dude, like the side post, and I was like, there's no way. And then thinking back on the game, I was like, dude, if he would have missed that, like this game literally would have ended in a draw, which was sad. Because they were literally had 10 men the whole time. But they did continue parking the bus. But, I mean, it didn't work out. Eventually, they ended up getting through, like I said, on that one-on-one. But besides that, this game was dead. Like, nothing. Nothing interesting. Literally just Peru holding on for their lives. And they were actually doing a good job up until that red card. So that was that game. And then we go to the Argentina game. Oh, my God. That one's even worse. I feel like Argentina, Chile, like this game was literally just so dead. Like I feel like it's more so Argentina's just playing horrible because they're getting so many chances created. And like I've never seen Messi miss so much. I don't know, because if I remember correctly, you had said that he was like close to beating this record. I don't know if he's like
for
so
goals, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if he's like so into it right now, like with himself, that he can't get himself to score one singular goal, like so he can get closer and closer to the record, however far he may be. But I'm just like, dude, like the chances that this dude's missing are crazy. And it's not like him to miss a lot of these shots, because like, yes, you can hate all you want, like, but Messi, you can say like Messi this, Messi that, but like we all know at the end of the day, Messi's gonna end up scoring his goals. But he's actually not been doing this tournament. So it's kind of like, it's kind of throwing me off a little bit. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like the whole Argentina team is just playing a little like sloppy, and like they're just not working together. And I feel like Chile, they literally had nothing going in this game, because I feel like every time they had the ball, all they would do was literally just try to like scramble on like a, basically on like a, how would I say it? Like on a counterattack, because every time, literally, I swear to you, every single time these guys got the ball, like they would get a decent chance, but they were like, I feel like they're just so scared to attack that you'd see like a 3v2, right, or something like that, and these dudes just cut back, like no, like there's no chance these dudes were trying to attack. And I feel like the team, like they just need something different, because like Alexis Sanchez is not it, and like Vargas, their striker, that dude's also not it. And it's just sad, man, because like I feel like any other team or any other group in Argentina is probably getting bounced out, because I just don't see Argentina, like they're just not the same Argentina that they usually are. And it's, I don't know, it's weird, and it's kind of surprising. Like, I don't know, I feel like they need something different to the team. Because so first of all, I'll start off with DePaul, because I'm going to go through all their midfield right now. These dudes were shocking. I feel like Enzo asked for the ball too much, and this dude kept crying the whole time. Yes, I'm a Chelsea fan, but I will admit it. Dude literally was crying the whole time that he was not getting the ball. McAllister was a ghost on the pitch. DePaul does not know how to give you a ball to save your life. Like, this dude gives the worst balls, the worst corners, everything. Like, this dude's shocking. I don't know how people like this guy. And then Romero. Oh, Martinez did have himself a good game. I will give him that, the defender. Yeah. Dude had a great game. That dude is actually putting in a shift. Romero, too, he was pretty solid. Molina does not know how to let go of the ball. This dude just holds onto it and loses it. Tagliafico paid shocking. And who are Julian Alvarez? I swear that dude was, like, literally a ghost, too, because every time he touched the ball, he would get rid of it instantly, and he would not get nothing back. And, I mean, there's Messi, but, like, Messi's kind of, like, he's more of, like, that Ronaldo role right now, where he kind of just, like, give it to him, but like if you don't set him up, like you can't really expect much. Yes, he's still Messi, but like he's not Messi of what he used to be. But literally, I feel like this game was more so like, once again, Argentina missing so many chances, but like at this rate, like they're gonna end up getting bounced pretty soon after they get into the knockouts, because I mean literally, if it wasn't for their group, I feel like they'd be out of here, because their group is terrible, and I don't see anybody like putting up a fight in this group, unfortunately. So lucky for them, you could say it's rigged, but I mean, that's just this group to sum it up. Like, it's just been a shocking group.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I feel like it's scripted, man. Like, this group is ass, one, and two, if they win this group, which they will because this group is ass, they literally get the easiest side ever, which makes no sense at all. I don't understand it. It's ridiculous, and I hate it, but I don't know, man. But their form is kind of lackluster, so I don't think they'll win it all. We'll see what happens, but the way they've been playing is looking like a shit show, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm starting second doubts, too, and I'm not going to lie. Like, every time I've been watching them recently, it's making me, like, less and less confident. Like, even though they're, like you said, they're gonna be on the easier side, I feel like that's not even gonna be enough. Like, they're usually the team that's putting up a bunch of goals. These dudes have been scraping 1-0s against like Peru and Canada, or not Canada and Chile, I mean.
Yeah,
Like, come on. I don't even want to know what the Peru game ends up being, like a draw or something. Like, I've completely lost all faith.
Oh my god, that'd be hilarious.
that would like top it all off for me. But yeah, this group has just been very boring and lackluster, which I thought, like, me in my head, I thought at least like Argentina would do their stuff and then Canada would have a pretty decent tournament, but Canada's also been pretty bad. If it wasn't for that red card, they probably would have drew that game.
Yeah, honestly, you just never know how things are gonna go down. But I don't know, like Canada, like everybody in this group let me down. Chile, oh my god, they need an overhaul so bad. Everybody's missing sitters opportunities. I'm just there, like I'm just shocked at the opportunities that they're missing. Like they don't deserve to be here at this point because they're
That's
playing
what
so
I'm saying.
horribly.
I'm saying, like, dude, like the chances they create are like so huge, and then they're just like, oh, like the shots they take are shocking. And I will, like, I know we said we'll get to it, but like even like the Mexico game, like, dude, some of the shots they create too, and like they take are just shocking. Like,
Yeah.
I was like, how do you get such a like opportunity and choke it that bad? But I
Yeah.
mean, I feel like in the Copa America, it is a little bit of a drop off from the
The
level of
Euros.
competition
Yeah.
from the Euros. So like, I feel like we kind of just got to get used to it. But I mean, it's just sad because I'm just like, I'm already used to the Euros and all these screamers that have been going on in every single game, and then you get to this, and I'm like, oh
Yeah.
man.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's just this group. The other groups aren't so bad, but this one's a little like very, it's very lackluster, but yeah.
True. You see that the other groups, there's starting to be like a lot of blowouts, which is also not too good. But yeah. So that's that. Sum it up.
Yeah, so we'll go into
Jamaica?
no. We're gonna leave the Mexico and the US one last because
So we'll go to Group D then.
yeah, because I was like, I know Brian got a lot to say,
There.
I got a lot to say, so we're gonna leave those two for last there. All right, so I watched, well, I didn't watch these games the one time because I was like, okay, I don't know how it's gonna play out. So, because we had to put out our prediction early, so we didn't
Yeah.
get to see Group D play out. And but I said I knew Colombia was gonna do better, and I feel like they were gonna top the group. And I had a feeling that Brazil, I feel like Brazil was still gonna get through in second
Yeah.
because how can they not? But I said going into this tournament, they're not looking like the Brazil of old. They're looking a very like a little shaky, inconsistent. The form's not there, and I was proven right. Costa Rica did its thing. I know we're gonna talk about the last group, last one, but we didn't talk about it. But just briefly, but Costa Rica did its thing, which they needed to do was to get a draw against Brazil because it's a huge point for them. Honestly, like I don't blame them. Like I know that it looks bad on paper and it's a little scummy that they're just sitting back and hoping for a point, but I mean, Slovenia did it and it got them through the Euros. So Costa Rica, they got to do what they can to get through or get by. So I commend them for it. If anything, I commend them for being able to hold Brazil back. They missed so many opportunities in that game, and I was just shocked that they could not find the back of the net there. One thing I keep telling Brian, I don't know why they keep. So one thing I noticed is that. And it happened in today's game too. They're not playing Endrick. But the thing is, leading up to this tournament, they played him in every single game. And I feel like he started most of the game or most of the games, or he played a majority of the game. And then I'm just like, what's the point of all those games where he was getting game time and then now that he's not even playing at all? Like they're not even playing who they're playing, and now they're playing Rodrigo as a striker. I'm like, I'm sorry, like Rodrigo's great. I think he used to play striker for Santos when he played for Santos, but Rodrigo, I'll give you as a cam, he's good there, but he shouldn't be playing striker. I mean, him and Vinny up top can barely make it work at Madrid, but for this team, I don't think he can do it.
I feel like it just doesn't make sense because it's just like how are you gonna waste your whole like basically experimental games experimenting with one single thing? Like, you're literally prepping, like, at that rate you're just prepping it to happen. Like, you're just
Yeah.
get ready the trio to play just for him to get like 10 minutes.
That's what I was
And then
thinking
it's just
too.
like, yeah, and it's not even like they got everything else sorted out, because I'm like, Rafinha, he was having an all
Oh
right
my
game the first.
god, he has not been it. I'm just gonna say this thing and then I'll let you go, let you keep going. But I was watching the highlights, and the commentator said this, that all Rafinha does is dribble, cut in, and shoot. So I'm just like, this guy's like, who said that FIFA's not realistic? Because all he does is run down the wing, cut in, and shoot. And I'm like, he doesn't do enough. He doesn't do much.
Yeah, like Rafinha, he was doing all right, but like literally what you said, that's kind of all he does. But then even like their midfield, it kind of doesn't even got me sold. Like Paqueta, like speaking of, we'll kind of segue into today's game later in a little bit. But like that game he had was kind of not good. Same with Bruno. Bruno was like he was like and like all right, but like nothing crazy. And then Gomez too. Like I don't know. I feel like it's just very lackluster. And like I feel like they could be putting out a different lineup than they do. I feel like Endrick should definitely be put in, and then like you can obviously take out Rafinha, throw Win or throw Vinny at the wing,
And
or
Rodrigo
keep
on
him
the
at
other wing.
the other wing. Yeah, because I feel like Rodrigo is like how you're saying he's not at striker. I feel like he's just like I don't know. Like I'm seeing like a lack of confidence type of thing. Like I don't know. Like I feel like he's just not moving how he usually does. And I thought again in today's game, whenever he's also playing striker, like you know when somebody doesn't belong, and that's just what it looks like. And if you can tell that it doesn't belong, like it's not a good sign looking forward. But yeah, that game, I feel like they kind of deserve to lose it because of all the chances they missed, and they were clear chances, like so clear.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, I was kind of happy that they drew just because I'm just like, like they didn't deserve the win.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a good thing for Costa Rica. That at least gives them a chance, but
Yeah, it really does, honestly. It really makes a big difference. But we saw Colombia beat Paraguay 3-1. So I don't want to lie to you. Paraguay has some exciting players on their team, like I know they got I think his name is Julio, right? Julio Enciso, Enciso, and then
Almirón.
Almirón on the other side, and that's exciting, like they're both still pretty young. I feel Enciso, I feel like Enciso. I'm saying I'm adding an N to his name. Enciso is I think he's like 19, 20. I feel like Almirón is still kind of young, but they're looking pretty good. I'll give Paraguay this though. I'll commend them and respect them for not sitting back and just going for like draws. Like I know Costa Rica did it, and, like I'm not to say anything bad about them, but the reason why it worked in the Euros is that a third place spot will get you through with at least 3 or more points, and that's what they did. But you can't go through with third place spots here, so they knew that you have to go open. You need to open up and just go for it and just hope for the best. And they had some good opportunities. Like honestly, like I know on paper, if you see the score, you're like, oh, they got blown out both games. They got destroyed. Like they did horrible, but they played really well. Honestly, their players, I felt like they put in very good performances. They were very unlucky not to go through. I feel like in another group, maybe they could have done much better. But I felt like they did pretty good. Like their players look pretty good. They're putting up a fight against Colombia and Brazil, so I feel like they should be proud of it, of like the performance. Like I said, it's tough, man. The group that they came into with Colombia and Brazil, you're almost destined to go out at that point.
Yeah.
But they did.
Unfortunately, Colombia is performing how they were
Oh yeah,
expected.
that too. But yeah, they did good. So it's all good. Nothing too crazy. All I'm gonna say is their defenders need to learn to defend with their arms behind their backs, because in today's game they had two pens because they have their arms stuck out.
And we'll get to that too, because that's gonna be, unless you want to segue to it now, because I'll gladly talk about that game.
I think that's it. Well, yeah, Colombia had a great game. I mean, I'm not surprised. I feel like they could have scored more. I feel like Luis Diaz could have like scored. I feel like he had a good up couple opportunities that he could have missed, but all I'm gonna say is hats off to James, because he still got it, man. Like, it was sad to see him fall off so young and so early on in his career. That fall from grace after leaving Real Madrid was very sad, but he's doing really good with Colombia and happy to see how they're doing. Like, so they got a result against Paraguay. And yeah, so I had a feeling that they would top the group, and it's looking like this just might happen. But, like, it's a segue, Brian, so we can segue to talking about Colombia to the Costa Rica game.
Yeah, so speaking about James, great thing you said, James. James had a great assist for the third goal today. Literally, like, amazing to see because I was just like, dude fell off badly,
But it's great to see that he's at least still performing for Colombia, because that third assist, I thought it was offsides. It looked offsides, but I mean, they ended up doing the check and it was good, like by a mile. Right, like this is a weird angle, but yeah, it was a very good assist. But I mean, I feel like this after the penalty from Colombia, after Luis Diaz kind of scored his penalty, I feel like Costa Rica kind of had no choice but to open up. That's what I kind of noticed.
Yeah,
and I feel like after kind of just opened it up, which made Colombia just start literally scoring goal after goal. I feel like they could have got a lot more than they did. I feel like they could have got at least like five, but they missed some opportunities.
Yes,
but literally, they were just. I liked what I was seeing. Like, I liked how they were complimenting each other. I liked all the passes that I was seeing. Like, I feel like they're getting very creative, which is a good thing for them moving forward, because they're going to need that in this upcoming game against Brazil. But, I mean, low-key, I'm, like, very scared for other teams, because Colombia is looking like a literal, like right now, like, my number one contender, basically. Like, they're looking scary the way that they're playing. And I feel like they could be playing a lot better, which is, like the even scarier part, because I feel like they're just showing little spurts right now, but it's literally, like, just gelling right now. And it is still the second game. What, like, one more game, they're going to get into the knockouts. This isn't as long as, like, the Euros, because, like, there's not as many groups, so they don't have as many breaks. But, like, I feel like they're getting it together, and it's going to be scary to see what they do. But, yeah, I don't know if you watched the game. Did you watch the game or no?
No, I didn't. I was going to, but I was like, eh. Because, like, I could have watched it because I was home and the game was on. And I was like, I just got home. And, like, you know what? I just want to relax. I don't really feel like watching the Colombia game. I mean, I kind of wish I had, because it was a pretty good game. You know, I was watching the highlights. Yeah, it was a good game. But it is what it is. Like, the thing you said about Costa Rica, like, opening up, like, you were very right about that. They're sitting back and hoping for a draw. Because, I mean, two draws against Colombia and Brazil. And then if they get the 3 points against Paraguay, they're pretty much destined to go through at least second. So I'm not surprised that they went for that approach. But Colombia did so well to counter that they had no choice but to open up and go for the attack, go for the offensive, and they just couldn't make it happen. But Costa Rica's done a very good job, because it comes down to the last game. So it comes down to it, so we never know what's going to happen. But before I don't want to start talking about our predictions yet before we say anything for it, because I know we're going to do the build-up and see, like, oh, this team needs to win, or this team needs to do this or that. But Colombia did really good, and I know Costa Rica tried their best, but it's just against a team like this that's on fire, it's really hard to stop these guys. Everybody's gelling great. The defense, the offense, the midfield, everybody's doing really well right now at the moment, so Colombia's looking like one of the favorites to win it, obviously, outside of the main two.
They even got the set pieces going, which is kind of like a scary thing, because, I mean, Sanchez scored a crazy header.
Yeah.
And then prior to that, they almost scored like another crazy header. So, like, the other one, I don't know if it got shown, depending on which replay you watch. But, like, there was like a crazy opportunity that one of them had and a set piece too. And I was just like, dude, like, whenever you get set pieces going too, that's just like a scary sight. Cause I'm like, dude, you literally got everything like blowing, which is what you want to see, like, if you're on a team. But
exactly. Yeah. It's hard to be good. Like, most teams like struggle with set pieces, but they're doing pretty good at the moment.
They're so well rounded.
Yeah. But that leads us to the last game of the group here. So, the Brazil and Paraguay.
Also,
you watch this one?
Yeah.
I didn't watch this one. I should have, but I was like, after the last game with Brazil, I'm just like, how are they going to do? I don't know if I want to see another nil-nil here, like 1-1 draw, so I didn't tune into it. But yeah. I saw at halftime they were up, and I was like, oh, damn. I was like, okay, I should have watched it, but I was like, it's all good. But since you watched it, Brian, why don't you give us your intake on it?
Okay, so I'm going to give a very hot take right now. Do not let this score fool you. Brazil played horrible, in my opinion. Okay. The first goal, don't get it twisted. The first goal was very good. I feel like they created it very well, and Vinny, like, went past the keeper. They did it, like, a very tiki-taka type of ball. Some Barcelona ball, you would say.
Yeah.
But we thought them tiki-taka into the passes. He gets himself in the box, dribbles past the keeper, and just kind of slides it under him. Very good goal, in my opinion. That's kind of something we wanted to see. And I feel like in this game, I seen Vinny take over more of the Brazil team than, like, he did in the past games, which is, like, I don't know if that's what they need. I feel like if they had Endrick, he wouldn't need to do that. But, like, I literally kept seeing him slide into, like, the striker. Like, I feel like whenever I was watching the game personally, it felt like it was more of, like, a him and a Rodrigo at times. Like, both kind of sliding in at striker. But because obviously he still had his moments at the left wing wherever he was just cooking everybody with the speed. But for that goal himself, like itself, he kind of just like dribbled himself into the box, scored. But then the next goal, I believe this was Savio's. This was a lucky rebound goal. It was lucky. I'm pretty sure Vinny, he's the one that took a shot and it just bounced straight into Savio. So he kind of got it in. But that was like very lucky. So I personally don't count that. I just feel like he was just at the right place at the right time. Not like skill related, it just literally just happened to be there. Also, before this, Paqueta has a penalty. Dude misses it. Whenever they showed his face, my man looked terrified. He looked like he did not want to shoot the penalty. He was complaining that he wanted to shoot the penalty to start, but then after, he looked like he was regretting his decision because this man looked like he didn't know what he was gonna do. And I instantly saw it. I remember my dad was watching it too, and I told him, I was like, dude, I was like, watch, he's gonna miss right now. And then he's like, no, it's because he tries to say that the Brazil games are rigged. I was like, all right, just watch. And then he shoots and he shakes it right. And I was just like, dude, I was like, I told you. I was like, you could see it in his eyes. Like, dude looks so unconfident. And like, I feel like that kind of demoralized his kind of morale for the game until the end where he ends up scoring another one. But so then, ignore that, right? So then we get to the third goal. Another literal, like, tap-in. And this, once again,
that was a Brazil mistake.
Yes, they did have the pressure. They did have the pressure on the defense. They got the defender to go all the way back. He tried passing it back to the keeper. I think they ended up trying to kick it out, and it lands straight into Vinny. And if you look closely, Vinny had pre-kicked to, like, try to do – I don't know what the heck he was doing, but he, like, pre-kicked, and it lands perfectly into his kick and lands, like, perfect in the back of the net. Once again, this is a mistake from Paraguay. This is not Brazil creating anything. This is literally simply a mistake. So then this is the third goal. Then you get to the fourth goal. Don't get it twisted. Again, it was not Brazil creating anything. It was literally like they take a shot and Paraguay does not know how to keep their hands by their back or like on their side. And this dude gives them another penalty, which Paqueta eventually scores. But I'm just like, dude, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's just me, but like they did not look... Yes, they were a little bit creating more than they did in the first game, but even if you look back in the first game, they did create a lot. They just weren't scoring anything. And I feel like today, it was more of like they kind of got lucky and like things were falling into their hand than like anything else because like I feel like they didn't show the level of skill that they did again. And I feel like Brazil's starting to showboat a little bit, which is kind of like concerning me because like I don't know if it's getting into their head that like that, like, you know how all these things that, like, Ronaldinho and them are all saying, how, like, this is one of the most boring teams, and, like, this and that, and, like, that they're not even going to get watched and all this stuff that's going on. But, like, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of showboating, and it's kind of just they want to prove that they're still the same Brazil team that they were before, which is, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know if you've seen that video of, like, Vinny, like, trying to flick it over a defender. And yeah. I feel like even every defender, that thing is not going, like, doing anything. But since that defender's kind of shite, he kind of gets it to work. But I'm just like, dude, like, what are you doing at that moment? Like, just play normal. Because whenever he's playing normal, this dude was, like, breezing past them, like, easily with the speed. You can tell there was a different level in his speed versus their defender speed. And that's, like, what most defenders he goes against. But, yeah, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'm seeing, like, a little bit of a... Like, they're trying to kind of showboat, which is kind of getting me stressed because I'm like, I don't know. Like, I feel like they're not performing to the way that they should be to be doing all that. Like, I feel like they're just being a little extra. But, yeah, that's what I noticed. I feel like it was more of a Paraguay sell than a Brazil takeover, as you would say. Because, yes, it does say 4-1, but, I mean, it wasn't as pretty of a 4-1 as you would expect.
Well, you did a very good job of explaining it, because honestly, now that I think about it, you're right about that. I mean, if you think about it, some of the goals were pretty much missed. Most of the goals were pretty much just kind of mistakes in a way, if you think about it, in a way, like the pans and the defending and all this stuff. You're right about that. I think honestly, what it is it's a lot of pressure to suit up for this national team, like Brazil has had so many iconic players come through the ranks, they want stuff for the nation, and they're trying to like reciprocate like the former generation of the whole Jogo Bonito and you know, like that style of play where, you know, they're like flicking like the ball over here or there, like the way they were playing, like they're like trying to replicate that style of play and like and show that they could be like those former teams of great of the past, but they're nothing like those guys at all. Like, not no offense, because in the past Brazil have had some filler players in there that's like like, I don't know who that guy is. Like, I remember for the longest they never had a striker for some reason. They always struggled. Yeah. Like after like R9 was gone and like. And Adriano was, like, done with the football. Like, they didn't really have, like, a confident striker. Like, I remember they used to have this guy named Joe. And I used to be like, who the hell is Joe? And it used to be some guy from, I think, like, the Brazilian league. So, right now they have a complete 11. Like, they have so much depth with players from huge teams, you know, like, that play for great leagues. You know, you would expect more from them. Now this is like the generation where they got a more complete team with like depth on all angles, you know, like if you think about, like, let's go through it really quick, like the team that they got Vinny, supposed to be like the next coming of Neymar, you know. You got Rodrigo, who's a great player. Savi had a breakout season. Paqueta, he's been like in the spotlight for a while now. Bruno Guimarães, that plays for Newcastle, he's been doing solid, very good. I don't recognize, like, to be honest, I don't recognize Gomez. Oh, he plays for Wolves. See, I didn't even know he played for Wolves. That's, like, the only guy in their 11 that I don't recognize. Danilo has played for a lot of great teams. He's a little older now. But I've noticed that they've struggled so much with right backs over the years as well. It's been so funny. They had Dani Alves, but after that, they had, like, a gap with, like, who do we throw in here? But they had him. They got Militao, Marquinhos, Wendell. I know he might not be so well known, but he does play for Porto. Yeah. And it's a competitive league. And then they got Alisson in goal, and they have one of the hardest decisions when it comes to who do they play. Because I know right now that Ederson's injured, but you know they would have Ederson. You know they got Bremer.
Yeah.
You know they got Bremer. Yann Couto had a breakout season. Pepe plays for Porto as well. Another great winger. Evan Nielsen, they're both in the Portuguese league. They do their thing. Gabriel Martinelli. And they still left a lot of players back home. Like, they didn't call up Richarlison. They didn't call up Gabriel Jesus. They didn't call up Casemiro. Like, they had a lot of players behind. And I feel like the pressure is getting to them to deliver, to, like, bring some, like, lift something. Like, because this is, like, I know they won it in recent years, but I feel like this is the next generation of, like, Brazilian football, because I don't see Neymar having much in him, you know, and a lot of the older players are kind of going out. Like, if you think about it, I think the oldest player probably has to be, like, Alisson or, like, Marquinhos. Or, like the older ones have to be, like, Alisson, Marquinhos, and Danilo. The rest are all very young players. I think, I don't know how old Wendell is, but, he's 30. But, like, you get the idea, like, a lot of new players are coming, like, a lot of youngsters are coming through. So, I feel like they're feeling the pressure. And I get it. Those are some big boots to fill, and I understand. I don't know. I hope they get it together, because they're a great side. They're a great team, and a lot of my Madrid boys suit up for these guys. And I've always, like, even though Brazil always destroy Mexico or knock them out of every major tournament, I've always had a soft spot for Brazil growing up. I think R9 was the reason that made me like Real Madrid as much as I do, because he was such a great player. I remember I used to have a DVD, as a VHS, a DVD of, like, Brazil's 2002 run to the World Cup, you know, and it was all about R9 and stuff like that. So that's what made me, you know, get into, like, be a fan of these guys. Like, I'd say, like, Brazil's, like, a close second to me, you know. Like, I got some nations that I support on the side, but I hope they do better, and I hope they turn it around. I had a feeling that they might, but we'll see. But, like, no offense to Paraguay. They did draw to Costa Rica, but, like I said, sometimes you get, like, that little wake-up call. But we'll find out truly what is going on with them when they play Colombia. If they play Colombia and they do decently well, then it shows, like, they just, you know, they had, like, they had a hangover to start off the tournament, and then they pulled it back together, you know. But if they have a bad showing, it's not looking good for them.
But, yeah. And one thing I will add, because I feel like I didn't do this enough, I feel like Paraguay did have a pretty decent game.
Yeah, they
like,
did pretty I feel good.
Like, so, like, the goal they scored was the screamer by their
Bro,
defender.
Bro, that goal was so nice.
Yes, and this is the crazy thing. Man was a defender. Like, dude just peeled it off his chest, let it bounce once, and just smashed
Freaking
it in
rocket,
the bottom right.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that was one of, like, the nicest goals I've seen in a while. So, shout out to him. But I feel like it was more so, like, it was more so, like, a little bit of a downfall, like, their own little downfall that they kind of had, and they were, like, spiraling themselves into this hole. But I feel like if it wasn't for that, they actually could have, like, pulled out a result here, because Almiron and Cecil, they were literally putting in, like, they were creating so many opportunities for them to score. But a lot of it, shout out to Allison too. He was saving a lot of balls. If it wasn't for that one rocket, he probably would have saved that too. But yeah, like that dude was saving them. But on the other hand, Brazil's defense is looking a little shaky, and I don't know if you noticed it, but I've kind of noticed it. And like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they need to do to change. But if they don't change that quickly, like there, it's gonna be a long day for them once they get to these bigger teams.
Yeah. I don't want to be biased, but I thought Militao had a great game. I feel like Marquinhos is the one to blame. And I feel like in recent years, he hasn't really filled like the potential for the national team like he does like for PSG. I feel like he very much underperforms when he's here. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, like you could see the difference. You could even look at the ratings and the scores and all that stuff. But Eder Militao had a much better game, so I was surprised when they subbed him out. I'm like, why are you taking out Eder Militao? Like, if you're going to take out anybody, you should be Marquinhos. But if you guys are up already like 3-1 or 4-1, you might as well just rest players and bring in the subs because there's no point at that point because you guys are pretty much you guys won the game. Maybe goal difference, but, I mean, it's going to come down to more than just goal difference in this last game. So they'll need everything that they can. But, but yeah, so those are like our games for the most part. We're gonna I don't hate to jump around, but I know how long me and Brian are gonna take talking about the U.S. and Mexico. So we'll go to Ecuador game and then the Uruguay game. So Ecuador
through the Uruguay game first. That was just like
Uruguay a straight game? Blow. Honestly, we don't really got much to say about that one. Honestly, Uruguay are looking dangerous. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was a little disappointed because my boy Darwizzy had a hat trick of missed sitters, so he should have scored more. The funny thing is, they're doing so good, and they could be doing so much even better on top of that if they converted their chances. Like, Darwin, like, I get that a lot of people are, like, scrutinizing him, saying, like, hey, no, like, just bring in Luis Suarez. But Luis Suarez is way past it, man. I'm surprised he can still play in the MLS right now. I'm surprised he's, like, he can even walk with his injuries and, like, the pain that he has and stuff that he's developed. But Darwin needs to really step it up because eventually those missed opportunities are going to come back to bite them and then it's going to cost them the game. But Uruguay looks so good. Also happy to see my boy Fede get on the score sheet, but
yeah, but Darwin has scored in like his last 7 games, so
he scored a but he should have way more goals in this tournament. He should have way more.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, I was like, shout out to your boy because he did end up scoring, and you had him for like the player of the tournament. So
it'll help. I don't know, man. He's just that guy, man. I know he's a different role than when he does for Real Madrid, but Uruguay is looking strong, man. And then
they are looking very strong. It's scary because just like literally my only hope for the U.S. was a loss, but they're not gonna lose. Like,
chance a draw, but
don't forget, like, it is Bolivia, but still, like, this is the performance you should be putting up on a team like this.
Exactly. So. And like I said, when you guys won 2-0, I said that wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I said it wasn't enough, and Uruguay proved to you it was not enough. 5 goals, and they could have scored 7 or 8. They missed so many chances. Like I said, Darwin missed 2 to 3 sitters, and I'm like, Darwin, come on, my guy. You need to hit these. You need to score these. So, But, yeah, but Uruguay, everybody knew that Uruguay was going to destroy Bolivia. I had a thought that this was going to happen. There was going to be no chance that Bolivia was going to come back. Bolivia's just been very, 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 very bad. Unfortunately, as a nation, I'm sorry, any Bolivians. It's heartbreaking, I'm sure, but yeah, it is what it is. That's how things be. But yeah, and
Yeah, but then our Jamaica game.
yes, the Ecuador Jamaica game. So
I actually didn't catch.
I didn't watch this one either. I saw the
Yeah.
highlights, honestly. But
Yeah.
Jamaica didn't look so bad, honestly. But Ecuador looked pretty good. All I'm gonna say is, I felt like they should have got another. They should have got a pen, Jamaica. There was a time where it
Oh,
looked
yeah.
like a handball, and they didn't call it. So, and that would have tied them 2-2, and that would have been a big game changer. So I feel like they were robbed just a little bit. Some of the calls were very questionable, and but they did a very good job, and they played a great game against Ecuador. They just were just unlucky. I know it was 2-1, and they conceded that last one because they were obviously trying to go all out attack and try and get a late
Yeah.
equalizer to keep them in the tournament. Because if they get this draw, they still have a chance, even though it's pretty rare. It's not gonna most likely not gonna happen, but at least they go out with something. But
Yeah, one thing I
yeah.
will mention really quickly is that the officiating has actually been a little bit dodgy. Like, I'll segue a little bit back to the Brazil game. There was a lot of calls that Vinny didn't get. And I mean, like, at the same time, he kind of does it to himself because, like, sometimes he does just throw himself and, like, flop a
Yeah.
little bit. So, like, he doesn't get the calls he deserves. But there was plenty of calls. There was, like, at the beginning of the game, there was, like, two or three that he should have got that they just completely ignored. So, like, hey, I don't know. Like, I've starting to see it in a couple of games now too. Like, even that one where you said where it was like a miss or where it could have been a pen, because I know exactly the one you're talking about. And it should have been a pen. So it's just like, I don't know. Like, need to see a little bit more consistency here because it's starting to look a little bit like what we don't want it to be. We don't want the refs to put these games in their hands. So.
Yep, you are 100% right about that. The officiating has been shocking, and I'm amazed by it. You know, like that they haven't made any changes. They haven't let any refs go yet. But I hope things get better come the knockout stages, because at the moment it's looking like a shit show. We're looking like a bunch of clowns out here. You know,
Yeah.
the way they're organizing this tournament. But Ecuador would just always look so strong. It makes me think what would have happened in that Venezuela game had they not lost. Had they not went down
Yeah.
to 10 men? Because even though you lose a striker, it still like affects your whole team because you're down a man.
Yeah.
So it makes a huge difference, as Brian would know about being a man down. So I
Yeah, a
feel
little.
like it's fair we let Brian air out his woes, and then afterwards, I'm gonna tell him I told you so and rub it in just a little bit. But it's all fun and games, ladies and gentlemen. It's all for the bants, nothing too serious there. But yeah,
So
Brian, go ahead, take us
also,
away.
the point is, whenever I was at work, right, I was at work, and then I remember that the USA game was on, but I was like, dang, I was like, can't watch it right now. Like, I'm at work, but I was like, you know what? I was like, I'm a pop it on, and then just have it on in the background. And then I see that Panama's going like literally shot after shot after shot after shot after attack after attack, and I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, why? I was like, why are the US getting dominated like this? And like, why is it? Just to find out that Timothy Weah decides he man wants to get a red card, but and there's always a but. I will say it right now, and I told you yesterday, that red should not have been a red. I understand. You said he punched. Did not look like a punch. It looked like a shove, like in the like headish area. But if you look at it, dude, it was very soft. And I know you like. I know in the back of your head, you know it was soft. Because that is a very soft call. And like we were talking about right now, the officiating has not been it. Because that whole game, everybody was trying to murder the US players, like literal murder. Like they were trying to like tear Pulisic's Achilles towards the end of the game. Like it was bad. Literally the last like 5 minutes straight were just like or like crazy tackle after crazy tackle after crazy tackle. Like literally just trying to stop the US, and I'm just like, dude, like what is going on here? And like, why is nobody getting a red? Well, like eventually somebody did get a red, but like all late, which was kind of crazy. But I won't take it away from the fact that yes, Timothy Weah is an idiot and he should not be playing. Yes, you did say that, and I also agreed. But I mean, like, I can't really like
I'm not the manager, so I'm not gonna be able to switch him out. So I kind of just had to deal with it. But like, oh my God, like how are you gonna put your team in this like situation? Because you're literally just getting toyed with because they know you can't keep your cool. And like once they started poking him a little bit, you kind of had a feeling it was like gonna get to something eventually. And in the or Panama itself and the USA both have been known to kind of go at it back and forth. So it's kind of like one of those games where you kind of just need to know that it's just like, okay, they're going to try to mess with you. They're going to try to mess with you. They're going to try to mess with you. Keep your cool. But no, what does Timothy Weah decide to do? Not keep his cool. This dude decides he wants to shove somebody. And oh my God, like that cost them the game. Because shortly after, the U.S. scores a banger. And don't you get it twisted. That was a banger. It was a little lucky. Yes, it did hit the post and it go in. But like, that itself kind of shows you that they were still into the game. Too bad it was a little bit too much because then they scored pretty quickly. And like I said, after that red card, it was literally attack after attack after attack for Panama. And sadly for the U.S., like it literally just made too big of a difference. But that you or the ref, and I will say it right now, the ref that's been reffing that game, he always refs the U.S. games, and this guy needs to go. Like, he has something against the U.S. because he never gives us calls. He always gives the other team calls. And, like, he's literal self-sabotaging the U.S. and kind of gets mad because he just literally throws and throws and throws and throws. Because if you compare the red card from Panama and you compare the red card from the U.S. red card looks so soft, literally so soft. Versus like the Panama one. But I don't know, man, that's just my thing. Like it's just frustrating because if he doesn't sell the, if he doesn't get a red, the U.S. win that game, I think like 3-1, if that. I literally think it could have been a 3-0. Like the U.S. just literally looked like they were dominating at the beginning of the game, which is so sad to see. But I mean, hey man, you fall into the little traps, you get taunted with, you do something back and you just end up selling it for your team. And yes, he did apologize at the end of the game, but hey, what does it do now? Like, it doesn't matter if you apologize now, it's too late. You lost the game and it is what it is. And for all you saying that that Breitholtz just like it's his fault, it's not his fault, it's Timothy Weah's fault, literally his fault. I feel like they were playing the game that they needed to play before that happened, and they were like literally looking like they were about to score soon. So, and they did end up scoring soon, but yeah, that red card literally just sold the game, which is sad, and it made me sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, so I saw the second half of that game. I said, I got a hate watch real quick. I said, let me put the game on and watch. I was shocked to see it was 1-1, so yeah. I said, I got to tune into this. I got to watch this. I'll say this. Panama knew exactly what they were doing in this game. They executed it to perfection and they paid off for them big time because their goal was to rattle you guys and have you guys take the bait and do something stupid like that, and it worked. They know you guys because they play you guys so many times. They're from CONCACAF, so they know how you guys are. I don't know what he said to Weah to make him so mad. Not to bring any explicitives or race or anything into it, but they're both dark complected, so I don't know what he could have said to justify that reaction. I just curious what could it have been that had been so bad. The only thing that usually you go to is racism, but like I said, they're both dark complected, so I can't see that being the reason. So I'm like, what did he say? Like, oh, like I don't know, like your mother or something, like your mom. I don't know what the guy said to him to make him so mad, but you got to be level-headed in these and like these type of games, these tournaments. Like, you as a professional footballer should know that anyone and anything will try and get into your head and play with you, play mind games and try to get you. Do you remember? Well, Suarez used to bite people. Do you remember that guy from Chile that freaking was putting his finger up people's asses and whatnot? Like, bro, like, that guy was, like, trying to do everything and anything. And, I remember way back in the day, you know what's funny? I swear it was Panama, too. I wonder what they teach these guys. I think it was back in the day, Mexico was playing Panama. I'm very sure it was Panama, I want to say. And there was a guy. It was either Panama or Venezuela, or I forgot who it was, but the player tried, like, he kept messing with Cuauhtémoc Blanco. He kept trying to get him to, like, react. So he kept trying to, like, make him seem like he was trying to kiss him or something. And after a while, he got pissed and, like, he shoved him, or I forgot what he did. I don't know if he got red carded or not, but that guy was trying to get under his skin. And I don't know about you, but Cuauhtémoc Blanco is a very angry minded person. So it'll work on you. So I'm sure that they knew, like, oh, Timothy Weah might be, he may be loose cannon, so he might be the one that'll bite on this. Like, let's see what we can get him to bite on. I just want to know what he said, man. I'm very curious about it.
Dude, but that call is so sorry.
I
Like,
will say this, it's soft, but it's a red any day of the week because there
dude,
was no con.
Copa America
It
game, like,
don't matter.
Copa
It could have been a World
America.
Cup game. It's soft, but it's a red, a soft red.
I saw more action in was it the Brazil game today, where they were like fighting back and forth? I believe it was. I swear it was the Brazil game. What game was it?
It comes down to the ref, but I mean, I know it was soft, but a soft red is a soft red, man. Like, there's just nothing
Dude,
to it.
in the Brazil game, they were practically exchanging blows after blows, and none of these dudes got a red.
It
Like,
comes down
literally.
to the ref, man. But I don't know. I just.
It's that ref. He always sells for the US, dude. He always just gives us no calls, and he
Yeah.
gives other calls for days. Like, that dude needs to go. They need to cut that guy because he has something against the US. And I don't know, like,
I
if
don't
we've
think
done something
so.
bad to that dude or what. Like, if you watch that game and you look at the fouls that Panama's doing versus the US, like, oh my God, you're so bad.
Yeah,
They did
so
it
I
to
don't know,
themselves.
man. Like I said, well, I heard that he's also like given a bad result to Mexico too once against like Honduras, but he's just a bad ref. I think he should go in general, but it's just it is the way it is, like. It's the rules, man. I'm like, they weren't involved in play. There was no ball. He literally lunged at him and he attacked him. The guy from Ecuador, the guy from Ecuador, the guy from Panama, he just sold it very well. He sold it very well, and it's enough, like anything like that. It's always gonna be like a borderline red card because there's no contact. There's no ball playing. Like you're literally just lunging and attacking another player. That'll never get like just slid under the carpet. It'll just never, I mean, under the rug, but it'll never just go away. They'll never just see past like, ah, it's okay. You just try to deck that guy, but it's all good. But yeah, so Timothy Weah, very stupid on that part. And it was funny because I was telling you last game, I said Timothy Weah is trash. He needs to go. Why are they still playing this guy? Why are they still calling this guy? Last time I checked, you were called up for your national team because of your performance, your merit, and your accomplishments, not just because of your dad and who your dad is and your bloodline. Like, he could be Timothy freaking Vasquez or Rodriguez or whatever you want to change his last name to, and this guy gets no call up, man. That's all I'm saying. I said it that you guys are better off without Timothy Weah, and what did he do? It's the dumbest thing you could possibly do, and it threw away your guys' game pretty much, and it just made a huge difference. But
Yeah, and that's why,
yeah.
like, I got mad, and I was, like, mad in my own head, but, like, I was just more annoyed that, like, because you know when you're a professional, you just gotta keep your cool, man. That's the
Oh
one
yeah.
thing you got, because if you don't keep your cool, it's gonna be a long career game, like, whatever it is. Like, that's just the one thing you kind of have to always do, and the fact that he wasn't able to is just frustrating, because, yes, like, I can blame the refs all I want, but, like, that's not gonna change. The one thing that can change is you making sure nothing happens to you, you know? Like, you just can't be doing those dumb things. And I know, so before I get back to this negativity, I do want to shout out Balogun, because this man's looking like a superstar, man. He's just scoring bangers after bangers. So hopefully that continues. He could have had a second to tie the game, but then I'll bring it straight back down. Ricardo Pepi, man, you got to score that, like, that last opportunity. Oh my god, it was so sad to see. Like, just when you think, oh my god, the cross is coming, all you need to do is score that and you tie the game, and it basically ends because it was like towards the end of the game. No, my man misses it, and it's just like, oh my god, just to sum up that game, it was so frustrating, but I didn't want to continue on. I just want to move on already. Like, it's getting giving me flashbacks to what could have been.
Yeah, well, I'll say the last few points I have to say and move on, but that wasn't the I'm sure this is gonna upset you, but that wasn't to tie, that was to win. You guys, at this point in time, I'm pretty sure you guys were drawn 1-1. He missed that header to put the game away, and then they counterattack, and that's where they score the goal to put themselves 2-1 up. Like I said, regardless, what happened?
Keep going. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, but I don't know, like, I've seen some of the reactions to, like, some of the people. Like, I know a lot of people, like, in the States don't watch, like, the sport, but I've seen a lot of crazy things. Like, I saw that the header, like, when, with the Panamanian player, where, like, I guess he, like, bumped into, Matt Turner. I'm like, these people don't know the sport. I'm like, it was a 50-50 ball. Whenever two players go for the ball, it's just a 50-50. You don't know what's gonna happen. Just like whenever players go for the ball and they crash or they clash heads, I'm like, just look at that, like, the Raul Jimenez, like incident. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm upset that that pretty much ruined his career, but I'm not mad at David Luiz. Not like he did it on purpose. Like, I doubt it was in his plan to do that. So it's just a 50-50. When you go up for the ball, you just never know what's going to happen. It was unfortunate the way the collision went down, but the player goes up looking for the ball, and he doesn't get it, and he just happens to bump into Matt Turner. It's unfortunate, but it wasn't on purpose, and that was sure not a red card because people were calling for a red card. I'm like, that was not a red card offense. It's not even a card offense. They both went for the ball. It was both even. There was no foul. It was just unfortunate.
That's what I was I was just going to say, I was just like, oh, yeah. And just for everybody saying, like, oh, what happened to Matt Turner? Matt Turner this, Matt Turner that. I better not see you get any slander, because the shot that this dude took and, like, the way he landed was nasty. Like, that could have been a scary injury. Thankfully, like, well, I mean, he did end up getting hurt, and I'm pretty sure he left the game, like, midway.
Yeah, he got subbed out at halftime.
Yeah, hopefully it's nothing, like, too crazy. But, like, from what I've seen, it's nothing too crazy, and I think he'll be good. But, like, dude, like, I better not hear you saying anything about Matt Turner, because, man, like, literally took a shot of the ages. And I feel like I don't want to just blame it, because it was a good goal, the first goal that they had. Like, yes, it was a good goal, but I feel like if he was, like, completely 100% okay, I think he saves that 100% of the time. So,
bro, that just shot was so bad.
Because man was literally, like, playing on a literal, like, one limb, because that shot was so slow and horrible, and that should have been saved so quickly. But I mean, he literally just got dropped and was not the same after that, which is why he got subbed out. Yeah. So better not see no hatred towards my boy Matt Turner.
But I was gonna say, that goal, like, Horvath should have saved that. I think he got a deflection, but it literally went through his hands. I was like, I'm sorry, but that's a savable shot. I don't know how he didn't save that.
Yeah, see, and my boy Matt Turner is going to save that 100% of the time.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. I feel like he would have saved that, because that was an easy goal. I know he caught him off guard. It was like, I'm sure it was like a good shot, and I mean, there probably was a deflection there somewhere, like even a small little nudge there. But yeah. I don't know. I just find it funny that it sucks for you guys in a way. It's like bittersweet, because obviously you guys didn't want to lose this game. You guys needed at least a draw, but for sure a win would have been huge for you guys, and now it complicates things. But the thing is that with Timothy Weah getting that red card, they might have an excuse to keep Berhalter, because he could be like, hey, Timothy Weah got the red card, not me. I couldn't do anything about that, and that's how we lost. That's why we got out. It wasn't because of me. So it might buy him some time, unfortunately, because of that reason. But if you think about it, his decisions were so bad. First of all, why would you go defensive? They went into a 5-back. Yeah. So they literally subbed in a 5-back.
There was points where they dropped down to a 7-back. I was going to take a screenshot of it just so we had it for the pod, but yeah. I didn't get it. But there was a moment where they literally dropped to 7 men straight in a straight line. It was like so, like, oh my god, it was sad to see. Just from a fan's point of view, because it's like, dude, how do you get so defensive? And this is, keep in mind, this is after they had scored. So, like, you put one more in, and this rallies your team so bad, like, so much, where, like, it gets you going. But no, what do? You completely ignore that you just score, and it's like, okay, let's park the bus and hope. And you know this doesn't work. Like, yes, you can park the bus for, like, 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You can't park the bus for a whole 60, like, 70 minutes. Like, it's so hard to do. Yes, you can do it, and you can maybe try to scrape a draw, but what happens when the first one goes in? Then it just drops your morale, and then you score another one, and boom, game's over. Like, you gotta stay attacking, and if it goes in, it goes in. Oh, well, you move on. Like, come on, man.
Exactly. I thought that was so dumb. And then the play did something, Carter Vickers, he ended up having a horrible game, so it was for nothing. But I just found it funny because they subbed out Reyna. I'm like, Reyna has been so trash, and I've been saying it too. I'm like, I can't believe he's still playing for you guys. And the fact that you guys left, like, one of your best players on the bench in Yunus, like, I might be a little biased because I'm a La Liga fan, but I feel like he's a good player in La Liga. And the fact that they literally didn't put him on is crazy to me. Or the fact that they were trying to settle for a point, I'm like, that's embarrassing. Try to settle for a point against Panama. It's so sad they should be going out, like I said, attacking, try to win this game, try to, like, you know, come back from this. But no, they're just trying to sit back and just hope for the best. And then on top of that, they took out their best player, which is Balogun. I'm like, who scored the goal? And he was looking good. For Pepe, who I told you was trash, and I'm glad he didn't decide with Mexico, because this guy, he can't handle the bright lights because he misses so many clear-cut opportunities. It's not even funny. Like, some of these is like, any of us could have scored it. Like, we could have scored it.
It's bad.
Like, I don't even know. Like, I know, I'm sure some people were defending Pepe, but I feel like if you guys want to progress, I wouldn't call him. I wouldn't have him there at all, honestly. You guys gotta have more strikers that you have a better quality, you know, like the better quality attackers that you guys could have called up instead.
All I can say is that the only positive from this is that Balogun looks good. So.
Yep, that's about it. But like I said, that's the only good thing. But who knows? Hopefully, it doesn't mean that Berhalter will keep his job for you guys, for your guys' sake. Because I mean, this guy's an idiot, and he doesn't deserve to like represent like and coach the nation. But Yeah, but it is what it is. It's just funny. Like, I told you, Brian, I said, it's going to come down to goal difference. You guys needed more goals against Bolivia. You never know what's going to happen, and this happens, and now, but literally.
They're not going to draw against Uruguay. There's no way, dude. Uruguay, like, okay, don't get it twisted. I'm not giving up. I am going to have faith, but this is biased faith. You got to remember, like, there's you thinking mentally, and then there's you thinking based off of bias. Me thinking that they're going to draw is off of bias. Me thinking that they're going to lose is me thinking mentally with my head. If it was any other moment and, like, say Uruguay is scraping out a 1-0, 2-0, I'd be like, all right, shit, we have a chance. They've been banging out goals for goals for goals. And, like, all these opportunities that they leave on the table, like, they're going to fall in one day. And that day is coming up because, like, they're looking crazy right now. So, like, if it wasn't for their crazy form right now, I would have a little bit of faith. But their form is just too crazy to even feel like we have a chance. So it's just, I just say it's over already because, like, it is, man. It is.
I think the more impossible one is Bolivia drawing with Panama. Because you guys need Bolivia to win against Panama or for them to draw, because it comes down to goal difference. So that's where it makes the big difference. So if you guys both draw, you guys are good to go. Or if they lose, but it's looking difficult because at this point, like, your fate is in another team's hands, so it's, you guys can't even control it. You guys can't do your part. You guys can't do anything, you know, at all, really.
I mean, they are gonna be missing Carrasquilla, who's a really good player from Panama, something, but I mean, I doubt it.
Yeah, I could tell at the end of that game that they were just trying to, like, they're just trying to make the clock go. They're just trying to, like, make tactical fouls to make sure you guys wouldn't get a counterattack and all that stuff. But I thought it was very dumb. And I just can't believe there was only 4 minutes added time. Because I'm like, are you guys dumb? Because all these yellows and all these fouls are just adding time to the timer. Because I know they were just trying to kill the clock because they wanted the game to end. But I just thought it was stupid. In the end, you know, their best player got a red card. So it's going to be difficult for them next game, even against Bolivia. What's that?
I feel like they could have got another one too, but...
Exactly. So it doesn't make any sense, really. But it is what it is. But, but yeah, let's move away from the U.S. and let's talk about the good old Mexico.
I'll let you start off on this one.
Oh man, I'm pretty sure I've said it here or there on the podcast, because I feel like if I go into depth about the Mexican Federation, I'll be here forever. But basically, the Mexican Federation, that pretty much the control of the Mexican League, the Mexican national team, they don't care about results. They care about dollar bills. They don't care about how well the team progresses. They don't care about anything like that, any player progressing and having a great career or prospering. They just think of dollar bills, and that's all they care about, which is why there's so many MLS versus Liga MX games going on in the US, because dollar bills. You know, just look at this tournament, right? It's in the US, so they're seeing dollar bills themselves. So I don't know if they get a cut of it, because I know it's in the US, but that's all they think about. They don't think about anything else. They don't care about the players, and it makes no sense at all. But like, essentially, like, it's like the English thing, right? Where like, oh, this English player, he sells for 100 million, so these guys see like their talented players, and they're like, oh, this team in Europe is offering 6 mil for your player. But then they're like, oh, but this other team in Mexico is offering like 10 or 15 for him. It's like, so we want to sell him there because we want to make money. We don't care about the player's future or his well-being. And it's been done time and time again, that all the which makes no sense, because you see this in all sports. And like all sports, it doesn't matter what sport it is, they're like, oh, they don't want to trade or send this player to this team because this team is in the same league, the same conference, the same division. Like, they don't want to face this like team with this player that'll make them better. But here they're like, hey, you guys want this guy? Like, we'll give him to you guys, but you guys got to give us this much money. They're like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, instead of being like, we will sell him anywhere but anybody we compete against because we want to win. And it makes no sense. If that makes sense on paper, that you would want to do that, but they don't do that. They don't care. All they care about is money. So things will never change until their pockets are hurt. And that game against Venezuela was sold out. Mind you, they played in SoFi Stadium. Brian, do you know how many seats there are in SoFi? It's 80,000, right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah, it's a huge amount. It was sold out in LA, and it's ridiculous. I'm like, all these people that pulled up just to see them lose is hilarious. But this is the reason why.
And keep in mind, SoFi be charging up the butt. Like, those dudes charge
All
their
these
prices
games
crazy.
are all these games are super expensive, because the way I see it is they're trying to make so much money. Like, you could tell when like the US game against Panama, there was like a lot of empty seats. It's because they're over charging like crazy. Like, they just see it as a business. They don't see it as a sport, which is why like the sport will never grow like in North America, because it's a joke to them. They see it as a business instead of a sport, and it's dumb. But yeah, so that's my point. Like, they pulled up and it was full, and I'm like, you idiots, what are you guys doing? Like, they could play the dumbest games over here, and like, oh, they're coming, we gotta go, we have to go no matter what. And it makes a difference. Like, I don't know if you know, so Mexico's previous manager, his name was Diego Coca, and he was horrible. He was horrible. He was good in Liga MX, but he was horrible for the national team. Literally, I've never seen a manager get fired so quick. You know why they was fired, Brian?
Why?
Because they didn't attend the game. I think the game had like a low turnout, so they said, all
Okay.
right, we're gonna let this guy go, because they're not coming to the game because they don't like this guy. And that's what happened. That's the change that started with when they stopped going, because they didn't want to see this guy be the manager anymore. And then here they are again, like, just pulling up in droves, like, oh, hey, like, you're not supporting the national team, you're supporting the federation. And all they care about is your money. They don't care about the team. Mexico get blown out like 100-0. As long as they get money, they don't care what happens in these games at all. Which is bad in the sense, but I know you guys are like, what does that have to do with anything? But Mexico will never be good until these things change, because the federation makes the coaches pick the players that they have to promote and show, like, oh, like, these players are like the stars of the league. You have to call these guys up so that we do marketing and PR stunts. Because I saw it like this: Marcelo Flores was called up just for publicity, because I'm like, this guy will never see the pitch. He's not gonna play any minutes. He's just there. He's just there because he was like shown as like the promising piece for like Mexican future, and he plays for Tigres, one of the bigger clubs in the league. So it just shows that like they have their hand in everything, that The manager will never be able to call up the players that he truly wants to call up, and he'll never be able to do things the way he wants to do things. And it's all because of the Federation. So Mexico will never do well. They'll never get anywhere outside of the Gold Cup. And even then, the US has been kind of dominating it like the last couple times. But they'll never go anywhere if they don't make changes to the Federation. And it's the fans' fault because they need to stop going to these freaking games, man. I get it's the Copa America. It's exciting. Woo. But I'm like, stop going to the games, stop buying their merchandise, stop giving them money, stop handing it to them, lining their pockets, because they don't care about the team. And that's what I mean. Like, this game, if Mexico get grouped, they're firing the manager. And I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the managers made some questionable decisions, but we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. What if they're saying, like, no, you got to play this guy. I don't care. You got to start this guy. You got to play this guy. Like, you got to make sure they get on the pitch, this or that. We don't know what goes on behind the scenes because some of his decision making is very questionable. It makes me think I'm like that they're saying something to him for him to do those things. Because what else could it be? What makes sense? Because the changes that they're making are very dumb. It just makes no sense at all. And I'm so tired of them running the same formation, like the 4-3-3. They need to switch formations. It's just not working, man. They need to switch to a 4-4-2, man. Santi up top with Quiñones is my opinion, but I was very frustrated with something because he missed that sitter that literally would have put them up 1-0 and the game would have been changed. I could not believe he missed. I was literally in shock. I couldn't believe it that he missed that shot. It was like a sitter.
One thing I will say is that Santi does not, he has not been performing recently for Mexico. Like, this dude turns to like into a ghost when he plays for you guys. And it's sad because whenever it's in the league, he's playing like an all-star, and then he comes back to play for his national team, and he's like the complete opposite of what he is, which sucks, but hey, man.
Exactly, that's exactly. I'm like, don't get me wrong. Like, I was very mad with Santi. I'm like, I'm done with Santi, but he's our best player, man, and we gotta rally behind him. It's just, we gotta see. It's the system, it's the team that he has behind him, the supporting cast, because you tell me he can put in performances after performance after performance for Feyenoord, but he can't for Mexico against, like lesser opponent, like sides. No offense to like any team that they face, but you would expect that. But nope, that's not what's going on at all. But yeah, so I don't know. Things will never change. We'll never see Mexico win anything huge. And the fans are going to keep showing up because they're idiots. They're morons. They see it as, oh, why not? Let's go to the game. Why not? It's on a Saturday or it's on a Friday. Like, woo. These guys are idiots. They don't care about the national team. They don't care about the state of things. They don't care about our future and our youth players and growing our league and growing our players. They only care about just dollar bills, man. Your dollar bills, precisely. That's what I mean by, like, obviously gameplay wise. I was gonna say, I'm tired that they keep playing Antuna. I'm like, Antuna hasn't been doing much really at all. Like, I don't know why they keep playing him. Charlie
Anthony's.
Rodriguez, oh my God. But what were you saying about Antuna?
That dude needs to go. Like, the crosses that dude puts in are shocking. Like, you can even see video. There's a video of a cross that he does, and then you can see Edson Alvarez's reaction. Like, he just like literally looks like disgust at his cross, because like, this dude puts in the worst crosses of all time, and I feel like he's always losing the ball to himself. But that's the one player I really noticed that, like, he's been bugging me a lot, and like, he needs to go. And Quiñones, that dude's gonna end up like Timothy Weah. Like, quote me on it right now. This dude cannot keep his cool to save his life. So
I
I'm
believe
waiting
it.
for.
He's very hot-headed, and I saw that in that game. They had to calm him down.
Yeah, I'm waiting for
Maybe.
that dude to get it hard. Him waiting.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. But yeah, and then Charlie Rodriguez. This guy needs to stop. He's played 50 games for Mexico. He has zero assists. He has zero goals. Why is this guy still playing? Why is he still getting minutes? Why is he still a starter? Yeah. Other than, oh well, he plays for Cruz Azul, so he has to play and this and that and all this crap that I'm saying. I don't know, but this guy is horrible. He should never suit up ever again, in my opinion. I don't know what they're doing there, but he's horrible, man. They need to stop calling him up. I was so happy when they stopped calling up Gallardo, and then now they gotta stop calling up this freaking bozo, man. But they need to change the formation and make changes. But the last thing I'm gonna go off on, I cannot believe that. I guess supposedly I heard that the person that was supposed to take the penalty was supposed to be Johan and not Orbelin, but I guess Orbelin took it upon himself to shoot it. And I said this, whenever a player wants the pen and they forcefully take it, they almost always miss, do they not?
Yes, they
And
do.
exactly. And I was like, bro, what is this guy doing, man? And like, that's the case and that's true. And I'm like, that pissed me off because obviously his penalty was horrible. I don't know what the heck he was thinking, man, but that cost him the game. They could have drew that game, but instead they end up losing it. And honestly, I turned the game off when Alexis Vega got subbed in, and the first thing he did was he literally got rattled, man. Like, these guys get rattled too easy. Like, the Venezuela guy just stood there, and then, like, he bumped into him, and he got mad, and he shoved him, and he got a card for that. That's when I turned off the game. I was like, no, I've had enough. I can't. I'm like, are you serious? Like, you're gonna do something so stupid as that and get a card for it? I'm like, it's so unnecessary. You, like, you just got subbed in. Oh my God, but
One thing
yeah.
I will say about the penalty thing is, for those of you who have not actually played like football on like actual pitch and everything, keep in mind there's always a designated penalty taker. Always. It should never be a decision. It should always be whenever there's a penalty, we know who's taking it. We know he's walking up. No arguing, no nothing. Like, that's just who's taking it. It should always be that way because it's always your best player. You should put egos aside. Yes, you got the pen. Oh well, whatever. He's taking it because he's our best pen taker. He's gonna make it. That should always be it. So like, whenever these people argue for penalties, they always miss, and it's because they themselves are like putting this extra pressure on themselves to make it. When literally you have the person who doesn't feel pressure, like they're the ones that always makes these because that's just them. Like, this is why they're the ones that need to take these penalties. And I feel like, I don't know, like, because the Brazil one too, I feel like there was a lot of people arguing over that penalty, and I feel like that's kind of what also messed up, what's his face? Paqueta, because
Yeah.
I believe both Vinny and Rodrigo both wanted to take it, but then he ended up saying no, and then like this and that. But I'm assuming he's their designated penalty taker since he got to take the second one. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like you just always got to go to your designated penalty taker, because if not, dude, it literally just rattles everything. Like, and it ruins everything. Because you have to put double the pressure on you than what you would normally do when you're just taking a regular penalty.
Yeah, exactly, man. But I don't know, man. Mexico's chalked. I can't see. I told you when we did our prediction, I can see them being third before they get first, and I was right. And I wish I had added in me, but I just said if you don't have faith in your national team, who will have faith in your national team? So I put them second. But man, it's just they let me down, and I'm so exhausted. I'm tired at this point. I'm not even shocked or surprised anymore. It's just. It's crazy. All I gotta say is that when Luis Romo is one of your best players, you know you messed up because usually he's the one that's trash, but he's literally doing a great job filling in for Edson Alvarez. And I don't know, man, but Mexico is just they're just this is like the worst Mexican team I've seen like in my entire life. Like I've been alive, like I've never seen a team this bad before, and I can't believe it. I'm shocked, but whatever, they didn't
But
deserve to win, so it doesn't matter.
don't they have a somewhat easier path? Like, not saying that they're going to win the next game, but if they
If
do win the
they
next game,
win,
don't they go through?
if they win this next game, they will end second and they will go down the path with Argentina, which is way easier. So they're not going to win this tournament. There's no way. There's no chance that they win it. But if it was to go the distance, they would play Argentina on that easier weak side, and then once they beat them, they face whatever is left over, like some of the easier sides.
What's
So
their
the
best
Yeah, this would be their best chance. So honestly, realistically, you want to be second in this group because if you get first, you get the reward of facing up against if Brazil go through of your Brazil, Uruguay, Colombia, you get to play them. That's your reward out there for getting first, possibly. But yeah, that's pretty much it. So that's our kind of reactions. We're just gonna go through really quick and give our predictions of this last final group game, and then we'll end it there. But I've been doing a lot of talking, Brian, so I'll let you take it away with the group A. Who do you see winning? Who do you see? What results do you see? Who is gonna go through in that second slot? And give me predictions, because we've been really bad lately about giving our predictions, because we didn't even do that with the Euros. We just said who's gonna go through.
prediction for the game.
Prediction for the game, and what do you think the table's gonna end up at,
All right,
obviously?
For the first group, I have Argentina, Peru. I think it's going to be a 2-0 Argentina, nothing crazy. I feel like once again they've been very eh. So I'll just give it a 2-0 Canada, Chile. I'll give it a 1-0 Canada. It'll be first Argentina, second Canada.
There you go.
Oh, you want me to do all of them or just that one?
We'll do each. We'll go one on one.
All right, okay.
But I'm gonna go 1-0 Argentina. I think they've been winning 2-0. But like I said, they're really lackluster. But Messi's not playing this game
They've
because
been
I,
winning one. They've
yeah.
won
Oh, that's
both games.
right. I think they won the first game 2-0. But Messi's not playing this game because I guess he has like a calf or thigh injury, huh?
Was like a kind. What's that?
I mixed up my words. I was like, what?
Yeah.
A calf or a thigh injury. So he's not gonna play this game. So we'll see
Yeah.
how they play without Messi. So I'm gonna give them a 1-0 victory because at the end of the day, they don't really need much. So they could rest their whole team if they wanted to. So I'm gonna go
Yeah.
1-0 there. And then Canada, I mean, Chile's just been throwing like crazy. Canada barely squeezed through. So I'm gonna give them 1-0 myself because they barely squeezed through in the last game that they played, even though they should have won a
Yeah.
little more comfortably. But it is what it is. But I see Canada going through, and congrats to them if they do. A big accomplishment because everybody else in CONCACAF is throwing. But
Yeah.
yeah. All right, Brian. So Group B, give us your takes, man.
Ooh, so I feel like I should go Mexico here just to support the boys, but at this
Just be
rate,
realistic, my guy. Don't even worry
I don't
about it.
know. I'm gonna give it a 2-0 Ecuador.
Yeah,
Bye bye,
okay.
Mexico. But don't worry, we will also be going with you. So I'll get to that when I get to that. But then Venezuela, Jamaica, I think it'll be like a 2-1 Venezuela. But so then who I would have going through is obviously Venezuela and Ecuador. And I think Venezuela will top the group.
That checks out, honestly. I would agree with you on that one. Yeah, so there's no chance that Venezuela loses to Jamaica. If they do, then something crazy went down, something horribly wrong went down. But and then for the Ecuador game, Mexico is gonna lose 1-0. I can't see it. Their chance is done. The only way they go through is if they win this game, pretty much for the most part. Because otherwise,
They can't even draw, I just forgot.
Now they can't draw because Ecuador has a better goal difference and more goals scored. Mexico's only scored one freaking goal, and it was from a left back. Yeah, so they're not looking too hot, and I just have a feeling that they're gonna get grouped, and then their manager's gonna get fired, and they could bring in somebody else, and things gonna change. But
Yeah.
whatever, man. That's just the cycle of a Mexican fan. But yeah, so obviously in the group, I'd have Venezuela topping it, Ecuador second, Mexico third, and Jamaica last. So that's the way I see it. Congrats to them that that Venezuela is going through because I know I don't know when's the last time they made it far in the tournament. I don't know if they've won it, but I don't think they have. They might have, but yeah, it's interesting the like the games and the performances that they've been having. But yeah, so those are my takes for that. Mexico's going home, and nothing changes because these bums keep buying their merch and going to their games. But yeah,
Yeah.
go ahead, Brian. So give us the one that's most important to you.
So the one that's most important to me, well, they're both pretty important, but they're both gonna end the same result. I think Panama's gonna get a 1-0. I'll give them 1-0 victory. I don't think they're gonna. I think it's gonna be like Bolivia literally giving everything they have, and then Panama's just been very. Although they did win last game, I still think they looked very shaky if it wasn't for that red card. So I'll just give them the one or the 1-0 victory. Then the US game's literally not gonna matter. But I feel like I'll give them a bit of hope, but the hope dies because I'm gonna give it a 3-2. I feel like they'll put up a fight, but they're gonna lose that game, and they'll probably lose it pretty quickly. I feel like Uruguay will score three quickly, and the US will get some back, but it won't be enough. And topping the group, obviously Uruguay, second in the group, Panama.
All right. Very interesting takes there, Brian. Well, at least you kind of me and Brian are both very much depressed at the moment at the state of our national teams.
I didn't try to
But
like gas it up a little. I'm just gonna let it be how it is.
yeah, so it's tough, man. But I can't see Bolivia getting any points off of Panama. It's tough because you guys gotta hope for both games to end in a draw. or you guys to win for you guys to go through in the second slot. So for that reason, I'm gonna go Uruguay 1, Panama 2, and the US 3. I just feel like Uruguay is so strong right now. And I saw a thing, I guess I don't know too much about Marcelo Bielsa, which is their coach that used to be the coach for Leeds that helped them get promoted. I guess he's known for not rotating his team. So people were saying that that's his philosophy. Like, he probably doesn't believe in rotating like the old heads do. Like, I was talking like Ancelotti, like, they don't believe in and resting players. They just list their full 11, their best 11, and that's that. Like, it's tough, but that's how I see, that's what they're saying, that's how they are. So for that reason, I just can't see them doing it. Like, if they don't rest their players, then it's done, because I can't see them getting a result against Uruguay. It's unfortunate, but yeah. So like I said, Uruguay 1, Panama 2, the US 3, and then Bolivia 4.
And your score
Ah,
predictions?
that's right, that's right. I'm gonna go Panama 1-0, because Bolivia is gonna defend for their lives, and Panama's decent, but not decent enough to get like a big score line. Bolivia at this point are just gonna hope to just get some, do some shenanigans and see what they can do, because they're heading out. And Uruguay, I'm gonna lie to you, I'm gonna go like 2-0.
Yeah. Don't blame you.
But yeah, all right. So take us away, Brian. Last games here. For the last group, so Brazil, Colombia, Costa Rica, Paraguay.
I'm actually very excited for the Colombia Brazil, so I'll leave
Yeah,
that one
I'm
for
not
last.
missing that game for sure. I'm watching that one.
I'll leave that one for last. But Costa Rica, Paraguay, I'll give it Paraguay 1-0. I could easily see it being like 1-1 or even 0-0. Like, I'm not gonna lie to you. I feel like that game's gonna be very average, but yeah, I'll give it to Paraguay. And then Brazil, Colombia. I'm gonna give it 2-1 to Colombia, just because I'm telling you, like, don't sleep on the Brazil game today. Yes, they won by a lot, but they did not look that good. So, and Colombia has been looking very good. They've been winning every game comfortably. So, yeah, don't get it twisted. I think Colombia is gonna like outperform Brazil this game, and they'll top the group. And then second, that'll put Brazil.
Yeah.
Actually, hold on. When is my math even? Is mathing here? Oh no, yeah. I was like, I thought Brazil was on three, but then I was just like, dude, I was like, if they're on three and say Paraguay wins, I was like, could they win on like goal difference? But
The goal difference is gonna be a big difference. Well, Paraguay, there's no way they go through because they have such a crazy goal difference. But Costa Rica, basically, if Brazil lose to Colombia and Costa Rica beat Paraguay, Brazil are out, and Costa Rica goes through, which is crazy because their plan worked. Even without the great Keylor Navas, they still found a way to make it through these tournaments. But yeah,
Colombia 1, Brazil 2.
I'm gonna go Colombia 2. No, I'm gonna go Colombia 3, Brazil 1, and then I'm gonna go with. I'm going nil nil Costa Rica Paraguay.
I could see that.
Yeah, obviously the group will end. Colombia, Brazil, Costa Rica, and then and Paraguay. But yeah, so that's our predictions for the third round and where we think the teams are gonna end. But yeah. So that's.
My third and fourth place teams, do I give those or just the one and two?
I mean, it doesn't matter because they don't go through anyways.
Yeah, I'll just
It's
do my one and two.
yeah, because
It's
it's
fine.
just at that point, it's just for the glory, because it don't even matter because they don't even go through.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, it don't matter. But yeah, that's pretty much it for our Copa America rundown. A lot of interesting things are happening, and this tournament's gotten a little crazier, a little more intense in a different way than we thought, a little more hands-on and crazy stuff going on. But yeah, it's been interesting. I'm excited to see how things go in knockout stages. But yeah, before we head out, Brian, so what should the nice, lovely people that listen to our podcast, should they do after listening to this podcast?
They should give us a 5-star rating because they feel so bad for our national teams, and they should follow and like anything possible. All the above.
Yes, exactly. All the stuff that Brian said, be sure to do that. Help us out. If you're enjoying the content, enjoying like the episodes that we're putting out. As of right now, we're doing the Copa America preview, but obviously we'll be covering both the Euros and the Copa America as this tournament proceeds, and we'll see who the winner will be crowned. But yeah.
Yeah, and stay tuned because we will be trying to do it like after every set of games, we will be trying to like upload a pod.
Exactly.
Stay very active.
Exactly. It's a good time to be alive at the moment, like, so there's a lot of stuff going on. It's very exciting. But yeah. But well, before we end it off, anything you want to say, Brian?
Yes, I have one very important thing to say.
Go ahead.
It's not coming home.
It's not? Man. Man.
But it is what it is.
Look at the U.S. They made Brian upset because of their
Don't worry. Actions. The World Cup champs will be back. We'll be back for this next World Cup, and it'll be coming home for real this time.
All right, man. It's sad that it didn't pan out the way you thought, and especially for them to underperform and not do what you expected. But that's the sport, you know. Them's the breaks, you know. The game's the game. Not much we can do.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I'm still excited to see how everything turns out. So I'll still be tuning in.
Exactly. You never know. What if a miracle happens? You just never know what happens, what goes down. But yeah. But all right, guys. Well, we'll end it there. Thank you very much for watching. Really appreciate it. And we hope to see you guys next time.
See you next time.